Welcome to Imagine This Podcast, where we discuss, celebrate, and highlight all of the excellent and abundant arts and culture in Milwaukee.
We hope that after listening to the pod, you'll see and experience our city, the MKE, and the incredibly vibrant arts and culture community in a brand new way.
I'm David Lee.
And I'm Mac Antigua. Hey, thanks to our friends over at Springboard for the Arts in St. Paul for continuing to hype up the pod with other emergency fund people on their, because they host like an emergency fund group and like support group for all the people doing funds for artists.
One that you're a celebrity on?
Yeah. They keep hyping us up. So that's why we keep going up the charts.
Well, we're back to what, 257th? So we're seven away from where we entered the charts. We're gonna break through.
We're gonna break through 50. So the team continues, David, and as I have been in this, I've been thinking about some of my favorite teachers as I had a lot more time for reflection. And one of mine was from when I studied performance ethnography in college under a gentleman by the name of Dwight Conkergood, who's since passed, but he's a performance ethnographer. And he would often talk about the role of the ethnographer, anthropologist, cultural anthropologist, is to make the familiar strange and the strange familiar. And I was sort of wondering for you, David, how has that notion surfaced for you so far in this over the last 30 days or so?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I think for me, the thing I've been thinking a lot about, particularly over the last week or so, is this idea that we are, that while in this quarantine, while we're combating the virus, we are essentially utilizing 14th century tools, right? The quarantine and social isolation started in the 14th century. Because there was no other way
to fight the plague.
Yeah, there's no other way to fight the plague. You had to just stay away from people. And yet while we're sort of going back in time, literally to the 14th century, we're doing it with 21st century tools, right? Like here I am doing this podcast with you. I'm looking at you over Zoom. We are able to reach out with this podcast and through Zoom technology and all of the other connectivity technology out there, Facebook Live, we're still able to like connect with people, despite the fact that we are in this quarantine, right? Basically, 14th century, and I wonder how we would do if we in the 21st century would do if we actually had to go back to the 14th century and to just like stay inside your house, right? Which sort of leads me to my final thought, which is I often wonder like, what are we going to learn after all of this, right? Like we've had this incredible great pause, or we're in the middle of this incredible great pause. What is the stock that we take, and what are the changes that we're going to make in society, right? Because we talked about this before, the Milwaukee and the nation and the world after this, after COVID, is going to be a new one. And it can't be the world and the Milwaukee of March 1st. I think you and I and many of our listeners agree that we believe that arts and culture ought to be the key driver in figuring out what that new world is. How about you, Mac?
I've been really leaning on fitness for my self-care. And so I've been running a lot outside more and being mindful, obviously, of social distancing and whatnot. And what I've noticed is when I'm on my runs, it's a lot quieter outside. But when I do see people, which I'm very careful to veer running into the street to avoid people, but it's interesting how we make eye contact and you know, I'll give a thumbs up or they'll nod. And it seems like on some level, you know, we can't be close to each other physically, but I feel this implicit desire to connect with people in real time, you know, not on Zoom web conferences, but rather as we're in together, but still observing that 6-foot boundary. And I think that's something I'm just more aware of, spatial connection, when I'm out in the world. And I sort of wonder, will I still hold on to that if and when things get back to a way that we're able to be in spaces together? I hope so, for the sake of our theater, you know, and our museums, like we can go to spaces together. But I'm just thinking about the lack of spatial sharing. You know, outside of my family, obviously we're here together, but other people that we don't know. So that's something I'm thinking about, and what's the effect of it not having shared spaces together. And again, arts and culture are the great, you know, opportunities for that, for us to share space together, share experiences together, and make meaning and story together. And I sort of wonder, what will that be like in the coming weeks, hopefully when we get back to a different non-quarantine, but rather a different time where we can gather.
The world I've seen is alive and interesting. Not because it's perfect and pretty and eternal, but because it needs fixing. I need fixing.
So we are, we're past the end date of our MKE Artist Relief Fund. As you may remember back, we started this, the Relief Fund back on March 13th with a goal of raising $50,000 to help somewhere on the order of 100 or so artists with right. emergency funds to bridge them through the really uncertain time before federal resources began to trickle in. You want to give us an update on where we are? Because there's been some really exciting news.
Yeah, we ended up crossing April 10th, right? That original end date. We ended up raising $129,500, which would support 283 artists' requests. So that is incredible. Way beyond yeah. what we thought in that room on March 13th. And we were like, pick a number. And we just feel like, I don't know. What do you think? And we wanted a number that was big enough to matter. But realistically, it's not like we have this money in the bank, right? It's not like we are a known entity for this. In fact, hasn't it been right, David? People have been asking. So is Imagine MKE giving out grants? Because this is what you guys do now. And you've been very careful about that, right? I mean, or you've been very, hopefully you've been disabusing the notion that that's what we do now, right?
No, you know, I think this was definitely a gap in our in the system. And so we were organized in a way in which we could do something and do something quickly and nimbly and with high agility and with high velocity, in terms of money moving. And so because of that gap, we stepped in the breach. And this is not our bread and butter, right? But because right. it was an immediate need, we were able to step up, which, you know, again, being able to raise $129,000 when we thought $50,000 would be a stretch. I saw the article that you sent about Springboard, and they said, well, we're seeding this fund with $10,000 of our own money, right? And I was like,
yeah.
Oh, if Springboard's only got $10,000 in their fund, maybe if we 5X it, it'll be, you know, it's a stretch for us, right? So
yeah, we're only a year old, right? So, I mean, it's not like we've got a huge legacy we're building upon, right? And it's not like we have huge name recognition. I think the other thing to consider, you know, the folks, again, I've been working with this national informal group of folks running funds just to get support with each other and get best practices together and share. You know, they've asked us, how'd you do that? Right? Like, because I did claim, like, we're not a foundation and that's not our key muscle is doing this. And I think my hypothesis or what I've thought is that we were able in a short amount of time to show the demand, right? We had a lot of people apply. We had 494 people apply. So that was within 3 weeks. So we could show the demand and we could illustrate how we could get it to people quickly in a short amount of time. And I think that actually gave the foundations in town a lot of confidence because they've really stepped up, right? Yeah. Of the almost 130K, right? I think 100,000 of that is foundations like, you know, Greater Milwaukee Foundations, Greater Double Act Fund, Helen Bader, the Rico Fund, and, you know, Black Box Fund. Right. So these funds have stepped up. So I think that our hope was if we build it, folks will come, and they came on both ends. They came for applications for help, but they also came to go, hey, we trust you all because we see who you're giving it to. And most importantly, there's a lot of folks that are unaffiliated, right? Independent artists. And those are the folks that really get hit hard in this when they don't have a home to go to or to get shelter artistically, you know, organizationally.
I've as our team knows, I've committed to reading all of these applications and also to sharing a note to all of the folks that we're granting. And I can't tell you how, I think the effect it's had on me is that people, you all have heard me talk about the incredible abundance of artists and creatives living in our city doing incredible things. And I knew that as a fact, but it's not until you read story after story after story of people you've never heard about talking about their, whether it's their dance practice or the teaching that they do or the performing that they do, on top of working at a restaurant or bartending or, you know, cleaning hotel rooms, that really sort of like brings this sense of like the incredible hardworking and resilient nature of our city's creatives who are willing to sort of like do and are creative enough to sort of pull in all of these different income streams to support the fact that they're also doing this really vibrant arts work and arts education. Yeah. And I think the arts education piece is the part that it wasn't until you shared the video, Mac, at our staff meeting earlier or last week, of Mr. Marsalis, that, you know, that our
Ellis Marsalis, right?
Yeah, Ellis Marsalis. Yeah. That our arts educators are just some of the most unsung heroes in our city, in any city, right? Because they are the ones who are inspiring kids to grow up to do incredible, incredible things. And I think it's just sort of like seeing the 454 artists and their stories and their in their applications, it again has reaffirmed for me that once we get through this, you know, the artists and creatives that we have living here are really going to be the ones who we ought to be looking to help make this new city.
So as we said, David, that originally April 10th was going to be the end of the of this project, and as a result, while we'd like to, you know, feel a sense of achievement, which you should. Again, 283 artists being able to be sustained with relief from almost 130K is a pretty good pretty good achievement. However, we still have 142 more requests to go and 65K more to fulfill. And so we're extending.
Right. So these were folks who had applied by the deadline. They were eligible. Yeah, by April 1st. They proved their practice, and the grant review team said thumbs up. And so we have this wait list now of 142 ish people.
And so from now until April 30th, we're on a path, or we're trying to pursue a path, and kind of still having that same level of resoluteness and optimism. Yet I don't know. I don't have 65K on my couch or in our back pocket. I'm excited to share that we're seeing examples of artists that are stepping up. For example, N43 Records is holding a Facebook concert next week. That's a music record company here in Milwaukee that has Lex Allen.
It's this week.
Thursday, April 16th. That'll be happening, and half of the proceeds will be going to the Artist Relief Fund. Jim Nooner over at Mad Rogues. They're working with No Studios to do
Friend
a live performance. Friend of the pod. You had them. They're doing a performance online with No Studios at 423. Proceeds going. So we're having more and more of these events. They're going to help offset, we hope. And and hopefully we'll get some more momentum.
I think what's really, I hope what people are really taking from this, right, is that like every single dollar we raise in the MKE Artist Relief Fund is going out to artists. We are not holding on to any administrative fees at all.
Let me check that. David, every donation, right? They have the opportunity. It's a platform, right? So there's 3%, right? You got to pay a little bit extra, right?
Are we going to do this now? We're going to explain the math.
Okay, we're going to explain the math right now. Okay. But here's the thing about it. We're not even deducting the 3%, right? That has to cover. We're covering that. If that makes sense. So
right now
we're losing money is what I'm saying. We're losing money on this.
So right now, when you donate on our website, there's an option that says, do you want to cover the cost of the credit card fees and like the platform fees? Yeah. So on average, it's like 3% plus a dollar or two. So what happens is that the money lands in our bank. the credit card company then takes away the money that people have covered in fees, right? Because when you donate $25, you're actually donating. If you cover our fees, it's like $26.01 or $26.50. Right. So the bank then takes away the $1.50 in those extra fees out of our bank account, right? However, on the counter, it counts all of the fees, right? It doesn't count the actual donations. It counts the sum donation. Yeah. And so every dollar that counter has counted, we are passing through in grants. So we're not only, it's 100%+ of funds donated to this fund being passed out to artists, because we believe so firmly that this is donors' intent, right? And it is so important for our city's artists to be supported in this time.
All this to say, this is still very much, we're not done. Even though it's the April 10th, we're going to be done with it. We're going to keep going to April 30th. I don't know if we're going to go 142 for 142, right? I'm hopeful, but we're going to work really hard, not just to make sure that those folks get their relief, but we're also working, Kenita, our director for artist support, right, is doing outreaching with other resources and trying to make sure we can connect, webinars or other ways to support artists to secure resources out of the CARES package and whatnot. So it's, on one level, we're hoping to fulfill relief, but we're also trying to make sure that they're aware of other opportunities like artistrelief.org, which is the national multi-million dollar relief. They're giving $5,000 to artists. So like we're referring folks to that, so it's not just, hopefully we'll give aid, but also keep sharing resources and information how folks can get relief too as well. So.
So that's just one part of our COVID-19 response. One of the other pillars of work that we're working on is on relief and recovery legislation, particularly as it relates to the policy response to COVID-19. And so as part of that, one of the new developments is that we have just started a COVID-19 arts and culture sector task force that now meets regularly on Fridays at, I think we're trying to schedule them regularly on Fridays at 2 p.m. But the first meeting was on Friday, this last Friday, where we brought together the arts and culture sector arts administrators to help to problem solve for some community organizations in two of our priority neighborhoods in Amani and Metcalf Park. And Mac, how was that? I was signing checks, so I couldn't attend the meeting. Can you tell our folks about how that meeting went? I heard really, really great things.
It was pretty straightforward. We invited everyone we knew in the arts and cultural sector to say, listen, these are two lead organizations that are doing a COVID response in those neighborhoods. We're going to bring those organizations, which is Amani United and Metcalf Park neighborhood group. And they're just going to talk about what they need right now. And so that's all we had. We had folks from Arts at Large, Milwaukee Rep, Marcus Center, Pink Umbrella, a lot of different groups. Probably have 10 different orgs, which was super awesome. And we had folks from Amani and Metcalf Park just describe how they've been supporting the neighbors and what they need, like from soap, real things, right, that can help, masks. They need vans to transport people, as well as they need joy too, right? What they need, art and joy. And so they turned it back to the folks on the call from the arts and cultural sector in Milwaukee, and just immediate problem solving. Do you remember that scene in Apollo 13 where the folks, they had the scientists in the room going like, they need to make a filter and this is all they have. And the scientists go, okay, we can do this and that, right? Like that's what the call was like. You heard, yeah. Folks from Arts at Large going, well, we're not using our van, so you can use our van, right? And folks from Marcus Center going, well, hey, we got a line over at Uline to help get with products. We can help order those products for you if you get us the resource to do it. And it was just like, boom, boom, boom. It was so powerful. Within 20 minutes, we were able to connect four or five things for Amani and Metcalf Park from the folks in our network. And again, shout out goes to Antoine Carter, who's our neighborhood liaison, right, leading that work in Amani and Metcalf Park. We don't have that call unless he has relationships on both sides, with the arts orgs that are coming, as well as with the leaders of those anchor organizations in Amani and Metcalf Park. And it was just a really powerful call to be a part of, and to hear from our Amani and Metcalf Park leaders going, just in great gratitude. Like, oh my gosh, like, I don't think they expected the call to be that productive. I know I didn't, quite candidly. I'm like, wow. It's just like, but that, I think that's what happens in moments like these. You see who the heroes turn up, and there were a lot of heroes on that call, and we'll continue to hopefully, you know, I don't think the need's going to go away, you know, and we'll have to keep partnering. And so if you'd like to help out and support the neighbors in Imani and Metcalf Park, reach out to Antoine Carter, Antoine C at Imagine MKE. A Carter. Ugh. We'll edit that. One quick story I want to share. It pivoted, like, they talked about soap and paper towels and disinfectant, like that stuff they can't access, right? And they mentioned that because the kids are home, they're eating the families out of the house, right? Like, kids are, they can't even go outside, right? So they're eating, and so there's food challenges, right? And that's real. But it really pivoted to, but people need joy and people need art. And they mentioned how some of the neighbors are coordinating their yard work at the same time, just so they could be together, doing work outside together. It was reminding me of that Robert Frost poem, the mower and the raker. Mm. Men work together, whether they work together or apart, right? And just how they asked for, how can you inspire us? Is there any ways you could bring inspiration and pieces like that? So, you know, the Marcus Center talked about they had all these leftover art pieces from The Lion King that they could share in the distribution packets that Arts at Large is doing for kits that Milwaukee Rep's doing. So, like, even on that call, three organizations figured out, well, we're going to distribute this stuff, and these are for these ages, and great. You know, so even, you know, these groups already have these really cool pieces. On our call, they were starting to align and coordinate. Okay, how do we make sure we maximize it, knowing some of this is really for different audiences? And again, that was just what the folks at Imani and Metcalf wanted to hear. You know, how do we get the right things for us, what we're asking for right now? And I think ultimately that's what I was walking away with, right? Like, people were coming going, hey, this is what would help. And folks from the arts and cultural side were like, okay, let's figure out what we can give you that is what you want. And it's going to do it, not what you didn't ask for, right? And that's what happened on that call.
That's so inspiring. And so that sort of segues into the third piece of our COVID-19 response, which is storytelling and narrative building. Today is 4-1-4 day, and we are super excited to be releasing our sort of like campaign or anthem video that we have been working on for quite a bit of time. And our guest today, Patrick Buckley, actually helped us produce the video, and we're going to have him on after the break to talk a little bit about how the video came to be and sort of what it means right now in this very moment. Because I think as we've been thinking about release time, the moment of COVID-19 just seemed like we couldn't keep our powder dry on this.
Yeah. So Pat Buckley is with a group called Buckley and the Russian General. They're a media production company located here in Milwaukee, but they've worked not just with local groups and local organizations like Aurora Healthcare, but also with national groups like Kraft and Mountain Dew and Wilson and Nike, and also with William Shatner. So these folks, you know, have some reach, and it was a great group to work with. And after the break, we're going to talk with Pat. Kitchen blade. When I came to you, I was howling. Through her wild hair, she spoke my name. Said, "Love will heal you. Love will heal you." Pat, welcome to the pod. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for making this work on short notice.
You know what? Myself, like a lot of the other people I know and a lot of the people in the arts community, have a lot of time on their hands. So finding a little purpose for which to fill in that time is actually enjoyable. So thank you.
Well, I have to say that you manifested your purpose quite well on this video that you produced for us.
Yeah, the timing of these things is sort of funny. I mean, we started chatting about it back in October, started planning about it in November, and started executing it in December. And, you know, and here we are.
You know, we were thinking as we were heading through the edit, right? Like, what do we do about this video? And I think when we saw the first version, it didn't take long. We saw the first version, I think, a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken. And I think it didn't take long for us to be like, well, wow, 414 Day is coming down the pike, and this is such a video that kind of speaks to the incredible, or at least my takeaway from it is that it speaks to the incredible resiliency and creativity and workmanlike nature of our city's artists and creatives. That it seemed like what a lovely love letter, right, to release on 414 Day.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, in the amazing words of Dasha Kelly Hamilton, and just showing people working, showing artists working. And I know, you know, even though we're in this great pause now, people are still, you know, in my business, in the film industry, it tends to be more like animation and post-production. Although, you know, I have gone out, I've seen a couple of people flying their drones. I've seen that, but usually the communal nature, at least of the film community, we're all a little bit separate. So it's great to know this, that, you know, Brandon, the sculptor, is still welding, you know, Ken is still painting, mm-hmm. you know, the Ruth Bader ladies are still recording music, maybe separately and tracking and bringing it together. So it is actually nice to know that it's not like totally quiet out there and still mm-hmm. that the work is happening. It's just sort of out of view. And hopefully what this video is it actually sort of reminds people when people come together and create art and all the things that are going on together in the city. So yeah, it's funny how this project has changed a little bit from time, but also there's some of it that hasn't changed super fundamentally too, mm-hmm. which I like is it was sort of maybe universal to begin with a little bit.
In the midst of the edit of the video, you sent us a bunch of these, I guess what I'd characterize as City Strong videos from Detroit and from Chicago. Can you tell us a little bit about how those videos sort of informed our video and how our video is a little bit different?
Sure. You know, the City Strong video is sort of a genre that, you know, comes out of tough times, whether it's economic or natural disaster, financial disaster. And it's just sort of like a morale building. It's sort of, you know, when bad things happen, you know, the power of film and video to bring people together in the community, whether it's geographic or whatever. I guess I call them City Strong, and Detroit came out with one and Chicago came out with one. And I'm sure most municipalities did, but in some ways, well, we're making this in the middle of everything that's going on in our world, in our community, you know, it adds a different perspective. But I wanted to not skew this towards a very heavy-handed, you know, we'll get through this, we're Milwaukee tough, or, you know, coming up with some term like that, which nothing against that. Look, in tough times, you know, you got to have messaging that brings people together. I just love the fact that our words were written by a poet, the poet laureate of Milwaukee, Dasha Kelly Hamilton, who's just amazing. And in times when it's really hard to verbalize everything we're feeling and going through, it's like, let's lean on the poets, not the copywriters. You know, that's my inclination. You know?
I think what was so interesting about the Detroit video and the Chicago video is that, you know, the Detroit video felt like the sort of late 90s Chrysler Eminem era sort of stuff. And then the Chicago video felt like a lot like Leo Burnett ad agency guy, right? Sort of doing the thing. And then ours is really about our city's artists. And, you know, from the beginning, as we were thinking about this video, it really, I think, you know, not knowing the City Strong brand yet, right? Like it really felt like sort of an Arts Strong video, right? About how our Milwaukee arts community is strong and incredible and creative and everything else. And then this thing happens. And I think it sort of like merged like the sort of like civic and artistic streams together, right? That our city is strong because of our arts.
Oh, I totally agree. And really like at this moment where things have slowed down for a lot of people, you know, you just appreciate art more. What's on your walls, what you see, what you hear, you know. Local radio has a much bigger listenership, you know, because people want perspective and they want to hear something that relates to them more immediately. And I think art across all mediums, I mean, we're not filling up concert halls. We're not going to dance performances yet, but you know, soon enough. And I think, you know, I personally miss a lot of the performing arts of music or dance or theater, and I can't wait to get back to them. So hopefully soon.
So Pat, we've been thinking about, I mean, even your last comment, right? Lifting up the artists themselves, you know, to pivot on that, you employed artists in putting this video together. And can you speak a little bit about who you brought on the team to deliver this particular video?
Sure. Well, you know, as a producer, my job is to sort of assemble teams, manage expectations, your expectations, their expectations, you know, and the artists who participated in, you know. And so really, you know, as we started concepting this project, I was like, all right, I just done this great project with this great young photographer, videographer, director of photography, director named Sam Argani. We'd done a big project rebranding the AIDS Resource Center of Wisconsin a couple of weeks or a month earlier. And I was like, oh, this is great. This is, you know, he's a young guy, full of talent. You know, he recently went full-time as an artist. It's a huge jump for someone to take that leap of faith and leave their day job. And all of a sudden it's like, all right, now my art is going to make me money. And so I loved working with him. I think he's got an amazing eye. He's a great talent. So I was like, all right, Sammer's, you know, if I'm the coach putting the first name on my team sheet, you know, it's like, all right, Sammer, this is great. And then we started saying, okay, well, who's going to be, you know, who's got the nuance to edit this? And there's a local filmmaker named Carol Brandt, who, I mean, her films play South by Southwest. She travels around the world to film festivals. She's an enormously prolific filmmaker who makes like a film every year, every other year. Again, another amazing talent. So I just thought she edits in her spare time when she's not working on her own stuff. And I just thought her sensibility was just going to be so right. And my whole philosophy in this is just like set up the team and then stay out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't want to try and manipulate that thing that they're amazing at, because, you know, like that's like, don't mess it up is my mantra. But I need to set them up. They have an understanding of the expectations of what you guys want and what the project is about, and then just sort of throw them out in the universe and give them a really long leash. And knowing project like this, we can always reel it back in.
So to build off the soccer analogy, you just roll the ball on the pitch. You let them go. You're, there's not a lot of work on the team sheet, on the board there. Not a lot of drawing. It's just get out there.
No, I mean, you know, their past work, who they are and what they do every day has tremendous application to this project. So I don't want to get in the way. Yeah, roll it out there and let them go.
There's something so lush about Sammer's photography. I don't know how to describe it other than like there's something about like the lushness of the color that I just haven't seen before. I just started scrolling through his Instagram. It's just incredible.
It really is. And honestly, it's a generational thing. I'm probably maybe 20 years older than Sammer. And he has a totally different workflow and a totally different attitude, but his end result is really just striking. And it's, you know, it's both his photography and his videography. The way he looks at the world is very unique. And then the way he sort of then captures it and processes it and adds his own look to it. You know, it's nothing I could ever tell him. I give him sometimes general directions, which is like, hey, this might be a, you know, we should do this, but I can't tell him how to do it or when to do it or what, like that's his purview. He's just got to go. Like he knows how instinctively. So and he's a lot of fun to work with.
I was just noting like, you know, the way Carol put that together for me, I just got this sense of just motion, but not being dizzy. Right. And just the way things brought these, again, disparate, artists from disparate fields and disparate geographies. To me, it felt so coherent and so together. And that's just a real credit to her, you know, in her work and putting it all together. So I, you know, want to make sure to give her some shout outs. That's what it, like, it hit me just in 2 minutes. I felt like I went all throughout Milwaukee, you know, on this sort of, you know, almost like a flying carpet ride, you know, very, but not dizzying, you know, at the same time. It wasn't overwhelming. It was very, you know, it felt, yeah, it felt right. So,
you know, her job is to create a narrative, a story, and out of chaos. I mean, there are these 10 scenarios. We're all over the city and all over every medium. And her job is to add some structure to it and to complement the words of Dasha Kelly Hamilton, and not step on them, you know, and not get in the way of them, and to create a tone and an arc and a pacing. And, you know, we went through many, you know, we're probably on version 10 with some subversions in there. So, you know, you start at one place, but we just love how it ended. And it feels right. And as an editor too, I think her eye naturally goes to some of the moments that are a little more quiet, a little more unawares of the subject, you know, like she's, you know, she doesn't play cheap emotion. No. She doesn't always just go for the obvious. She really digs in and finds what, maybe not what we want, but what we need. That's a great quality of any artist, is like, don't give me what I need. Like, you know, that's the commercial world talking. Like, yeah, a real artist will, you know, will don't give me what I want. Give me what I need.
That's right.
At the end of the day. So. And also, you know, music wise too, like this version of music, we went back and forth, and we actually got some local musician Classic to compose some music, which is actually going to be used in round two.
Yep.
We put it in, but we actually found it was a little too sort of upfront and positive. So in the next iteration, if this is a little more somber, in the next iteration is going to be featuring some locally composed music from Classic, which is just amazing.
Well, I mean, we really loved the Classic track, and it just felt like it added an incredible degree of Milwaukee swagger to it, which sort of felt
that
a
was
little
the
bit
phrase
different.
I thought, I'm like, there's a lot of swagger in this, which I like, the defiance and swagger, which I imagine that's on brand for Classic, right? That's on brand for that work. Which I look forward to seeing that one too.
But yeah, in version two on the in the coming out of the quarantine, when we're the great restart, right? We will have a version two, which will be much more swaggery. Great.
No, I like it. I mean, I just think this format of what we've created and is really great and can have more evolution, you know, to it. And you know, and also just in I met a lot of most of these artists for the first time myself that we filmed with, and now I follow them on Instagram. I'm thank you guys for getting me on this project, because I met a whole group of really interesting people that I didn't know before, and most of them, and it's been great. And now it's like I feel like I understand what makes some of their work tick. I look for it, and you know, it's really great. It's totally opened my eyes to a whole group of people who are doing amazing things.
That's really cool. We are going to be having, we're building, or actually on the site where we're going to be hosting the video, we're going to have all of the artist profiles where we're linking to all of their work and stuff. So we're going to, you know, I think to many of the folks who are living in our city, right? We want this video to sort of be an introduction to these 9 or 10, at least right now, and then hopefully as an entryway into this whole world of other folks, right? Just the incredible breadth of excellence we have in our city.
Yeah. I mean, you guys, you know, when we concepted this, you know, we said, all right, well, pick 10. And honestly, you could have picked 150. And now that with all the applications that you received,
yeah, we got
it's
we
like
400.
Now all of a sudden you've got 300 more people who you didn't know on the radar. Yeah. So
it's incredible.
That's exciting, you know?
Yeah.
And I think my dream would be all of those artists get to be seen, you know, for what, like in the way that Sammer and Carol feature them. And that'd be awesome to make sure that they all get seen in that way by our city. And beyond, right? And beyond Milwaukee, obviously. So. I'm a
headline in Ohio, behind bars for being drunk and poor. The past is dead beneath us, everyone's been someone else. Maybe I could wake up different, build a heaven over all this hell and love.
So we have a unique power, Pat, on this, is that we can make people the arts and cultural czar of the city. And so we're going to bestow that upon you. It doesn't last for a long time, but we want you to use this power wisely. But given your role as a creator in town, I'm curious to hear what would be the policies you'd enact as the arts and cultural czar to make this town, to make this city a thriving arts and cultural mecca.
Well, you know, I think, let me just disclaim this by, you know, into this great pause where a lot of people are at home and they're reading books and they're listening to podcasts and they're watching films and watching episodic TV, you know, I think we should appreciate people creating things, like whether it's the art hanging on your wall, the art, you know, like that you, when you walk through the park, it's like, those are the things that sort of add color and tech, you know, it's like the Wizard of Oz, right? You know, it's like without all that, we'd be in the black and white part of the Wizard of Oz. And then with this art that is, that we're able to focus on now during the Great Pause, it's technicolor, it's bright. It adds so much value. It adds so much emotion and so much vicarious, you know, engagement of life. So basically I would say that I would love to focus. I mean, we've created some amazing art. I mean, look in the last year, look at Give Me Liberty. I had friends from France call me and say, hey, I just saw this movie about Milwaukee. I have a friend who lives on an island off of Spain who's like, I just saw this movie about Milwaukee. It's amazing. So when we do create good stuff, it does get out there. The trick is how can we create money and funding to get this out there? And I would create more public funding. I would create more private funding.
Yeah.
And I would encourage, and I've been a part of this with certain large Milwaukee companies, is how can you get Milwaukee creators the resources to create? Because when they do, it's absolutely amazing. So it would really be just opening up the funding, you know? In February, I had great starving Milwaukee artists saying, hey, you got anything to edit? You know, like I'm barely making my credit card payment. And that was before the Great Pause, you know? Yeah. And these are people who I would think in Canada, in Europe, would be maybe more considered national or local treasures. And there would be some accommodation for which they could live and make art so that they didn't have to do all these side hustles, which sort of watered down some of the effort. So
yeah.
I would say, if I were czar, I would say, money, 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 resources, in kind, help. That's it.
Flood the system.
Flood the system.
That's great. You know,
I'm on board with that.
I totally support that. It's part of our agenda, right?
we want that. I mean, in a weird way, it completely mirrors sort of what, you know, the Federal Reserve and a lot of people are talking about on a national level to get the economy writ large back going. I would say that same effort would yield a decade of dividends locally, and in the terms of what we create, how we support creators, and how we create a community that continues to support that. Because I think once you see the results happen once, people are like, holy crap, this is like, why didn't we do this before?
And I, you know, you mentioned a movie like Give Me Liberty, and you know, as a creator, you're thinking of all the obstacles it had to overcome. That thing could have died 1,000 times. And how amazing it was. And think of all the projects that that don't have that ability to persist, even though they're worthy, right, of having a voice in Milwaukee and a perspective. And you're saying, let's remove all those barriers and let's put it out there. And I think it really resonates with the sense of how unique the city is, its geographical character, its attitudinal character, where it's positioned. That's a voice that needs to be out there. And that's what resonated with your friends in France and Spain, right? They're like, what a fascinating voice.
Absolutely.
And I want to hear that voice, and that's got to be out there, right?
And honestly, every time we get a piece of art that finally makes it through, you know, to fruit, and we share it, like, you know, American Movie won Sundance back in 99. I mean, and again, I'm from the film world, so I speak more in the film background. But I mean, there's some great, great artists and great filmmakers who play, you know, these big film festivals, Tribeca, South by Southwest, you know, every year. It's really, it's, I would love to not have that happen every 4 or 5, 3 years, to have a breakout that every year it's like, what's next? Who's next? And that also allows a deeper pool of voices. You know, I mean, it's really hard. It's like the salmon swimming upstream, you know, in this market. only certain ones get there. It's hard, you know. I
mean, and there's also like people shooting at the salmon as they're swimming upstream.
No, I know.
And
bear paws coming in. Like, I mean,
poison in the water. Just like, yeah, what probably makes it?
It's rough.
Well, I appreciate you being direct in terms of your reign as czar. It was a beautiful, glorious reign. We're going to do our best to keep that legacy up and try to flood the system with more resources and more people so that Milwaukee continues to be a thriving, will be more of a thriving creator city. And I appreciate you, Pat, again, not just for your time here, but also for being the impact that you are, not just as a creator, but you also bring along a lot of young talent in your shop at Buckley and the Russian General. They come through your doors. And
more like a collective than a shop. It's more like a series of loosely affiliated people with the comedy.
Is it more of like a broken social scene, or is it more of a you know, kind of, is that a 2005 reference that I just whipped out and that no one will get? Or
no, I do.
Hey, where can they catch you in your work when you're not riffing on the pod?
Sure. Actually, one of the things I really am having a lot of fun with is I am a DJ on WMSC every other Monday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Yes.
91.7 FM
drive time.
Right. Like, which is now funny because no one's really driving. So, but yeah, so you can listen to my shows on the archive, but I split the show. So I'm usually on every other Monday. So that's fun. And yeah. I can be found on the web. I've got a site that puts up some of the stuff I do, more the commercially oriented stuff at buckleyrg.com. But yeah, I'm just sort of out and about in the world, trying to create pictures with fun people and having a good time and hopefully making a living.
So quick question before we close out: who is the Russian General?
He's my silent partner. if I'm the brains in the operation, he's the brawn. So sweet. Yeah, it was
be silent, carry big stick. That's his way.
I created my LLC 15 years ago now, and I never really thought it was going to be forward facing, and so I named it after this very slightly obscure James Joyce reference. It's a sort of a story that he references called Buckley and the Russian General. And now it's out in public. And I've even had some clients be like, you can't send billing in with that name because it's going to raise suspicions. So, you know, like it's, yet I stay with it. So
that's great.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks, guys.
And thank you for listening to another edition of the Imagine MKE podcast. Please be sure to rate us 5 stars, share a positive review, because it really, really helps people find us. If you have any other insights, invective, or joy that you want to spread to us, please email us at pod@imaginemke.org.
And if you're active on social, you can hit us up on Twitter and Instagram @imagine_MKE or on the Facebook ImagineMKE. And when you mention us there, we can make you a #imaginary friend. Until next time, y'all. Bye.
Bye.